Welcome to episode 6 of season 5. If you've just joined, this is Maria from at Maria the Arcane at everywhere. And I'm joined by our supreme goddess, Robin of at a Tired Witch.
Oh my goddess.
Just about everywhere.
Jeez. We're going to get a review that's like, Robin is not actually a black metal goddess.
Too bad. You are. You're our pastel goddess. Goth queen. There we go. There we go. But we did want to mention that we have a very fun class coming up. It's going to be on grimoire magic with author Laura Derbyshire. And she even like wrote a whole book about it. And it's like really cute. And she goes in all about like making your grimoire your own using like collage art and stuff. So if you're into that, like I am, you're going to dig this class. And Laura is also known as the Bower Hare on just about everywhere. So
yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure even her website is that.
Yeah.
We also want to take a moment to remind you guys that if you listen to our Coffee Talk episodes, we have been accepting your stories in the form of a voicemail as well as an email. So if you'd like to write it out, our email is submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or if you'd prefer to send us a voicemail, our phone number is 351-207-0799, and you can leave us your voicemail for our Coffee Talk episodes. We also just want to take a moment to, once again, appreciate our Patreon members. The Patreon is something that keeps the podcast going. It makes all of this possible. So whether you're at the $1 tier or the $100 tier, we appreciate you so much. And just wanted to take a little moment to do a shout out and remind you guys that joining the Patreon is what keeps this going. So thank you very much for everyone who is a Patreon member. We appreciate you.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you so much, guys.
If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, this upcoming like moon phase is on April 9th, and it is another one of those moon phases where it depends on where you live. So where I live, it is the new moon in Taurus. Where Maria lives, it's the new moon in Aries. So I'm going to talk about the new moon in Taurus, and I feel like the new moon in Taurus, I can speak, is a really good moon for energizing like your social life, your networking skills, and just anything that makes you feel safe in like our social circles, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. This isn't to say, of course, that you need to like be honing in some sort of fire sign where you're the life of the party or the star in the room. But what it is saying is that like if you are working at a job that maybe requires or is encouraged with networking skills, mm-hmm. really good time to use spell working that is going to allow that to flourish. It's mm-hmm. also a really good time to utilize spell work that establishes our already, or not establishes, but encourages our already established relationships to kind of be grounded, be healthy and happy. Taurus is such a like grounded energy, and I feel like new moons, because they are starting new things, it's not for me, it's not necessarily about starting new friendships, but instead grounding the ones we've already got and mm-hmm. like taking kind of the energy of cleansing and purifying that you might find with a new moon and applying that to the relationships we already have. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
What about you?
So for me, as Robin said, that I'll be working with the new moon in Aries, and I'll be doing this on the 8th because like the dark moon like ends like in the afternoon for me. So I'm like, I'll just do the new moon. And it's literally mm-hmm. the day after my birthday.
Mine ends at 3 a.m.
Yeah. It's literally like the day after my birthday. So I'm thinking about doing something super special for it. I think it'd be fun to celebrate, you know, being Aries and, you know, exploring that energy a little bit more. But I think spell work wise, I think it's a great moon.
Everyone tell Maria happy birthday.
Thank you. I love birthdays. They're so much fun. I don't care how old I'll get. I'll be like 80 and be like, yeah, it's my birthday. Give me the crown. Anyways. But yeah, I think this moon would be a great time to set intentions for, like, if you need help feeling like more in charge, or even if you want to start taking some risks. So let's say you want to take a risk and you just kind of need the confidence to do so. I think this would be a great moon to like kind of set the intentions to do that. And of course have some fail safes in that spell work, so the risk is worth the, you know, has rewards and isn't like, you know, something it doesn't go terrible. But yeah, that's just my opinion. That's how I will be utilizing the moon.
I like it.
Thank you. So every podcast episode, we like to go over some tarot cards. In past seasons, we've gone over individual meanings of the cards. And then last season, we went over like the portions of like tarot, like the aces, the kings, the queens, the major arcana, the minor arcana. And this time we thought we would discuss the like themes that we find in tarot. And I think it's just a real fun way to learn and view the cards differently. But yeah, we'll discuss like a particular theme and we'll both choose some cards out of that theme that we think fits. But so this episode, we're talking about a being present and that showing up in tarot readings. And I picked for my first one, the Queen of Pentacles. For me, the Queen of Pentacles is like all queens. They're like the great balancers in their life. Like they balance other people's stuff and their own. But the Queen of Pentacles is like very focused on her work life and also her family life. But during her work hours, like she is very present during her work hours. She's getting what she needs done. But when she gets home, you know, she kind of lets, you know, work is work time. So she's like, when she's at home, she's focusing on her family, their needs, and what they need to thrive. And I think that's, you know, very important for all of us. It's really easy to fall in the trap where you're bringing work home or I would say, yeah, we all kind of bring
especially
family
those of
in
us that are self-employed.
<to work>. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like being present when you're at home with your family is so important. And it's really hard to like, you know, set those boundaries, but they're worth it. So you can be present with your family and enjoy it. Like ditch your phone for a little bit. But the next card I picked is the Knight of Pentacles, not Knight of Pentacles, the Knight of Cups. Anyways, the Knight of Cups to me is, as I've mentioned before in other podcast episodes, that the Knights are, they show real world energy to me, like someone actually following through with something. And for me, the Knight of Pentacles is following through with what makes him happy. And for him, it's kind of like romanticizing his life and like being present in his life, you know, if he finds the little moments because he's taking things slow, he's witnessing it. He wants to be happy and he's following through with being happy. And then my next card is the Two of Swords. I know that like some of you might be like, huh, what? What do you mean? This card's about decisions, but hear me out. So in the pic, you know, in the illustration of the Two of Swords, she has like the swords crossed over. She is blocking out the entire world. Like she's just focusing in on herself. Like she's being present within herself and within her thoughts. And you know, that can be very important, especially if you're surrounded by, let's say your family has like all these opinions about what you should do and all that. And you're just like bombarded with like all this information. You're just like, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. I am going to focus on what
I think
I need.
It's also a very guarded card.
Huh?
It's also a very guarded card.
Exactly.
And with being guarded, we aren't hearing outside opinions.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, that is a portion of being present. But how about you? What are your cards?
So the first one I picked is the Three of Cups, because even though I feel like this card has some negative aspects to it, You see these three characters and they are living for the moment, right? Mm-hmm. They are dancing, they are celebrating, they are present. Maybe that presence is a little partying, a little reckless perhaps, mm-hmm. but sometimes the biggest times you are present is when you are like celebrating and enjoying the company of others, right? Mm-hmm. The second card I picked is the Hermit. And the Hermit is such a, I want to call it a double-edged sword, because it is very much so a card of being present, but it's also that presence is entirely on our own. It's solitude. Mm-hmm. It's reading more books. It's introspection, etc. And I think some people sometimes forget how to be in solitude without mm-hmm. being attached to something. So you have like your cell phone, your books, your computer, and you might be in the moment by yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think it comes with like a catch in like the modern times and modern society. And the Hermit is so much about having that solitude, but the solitude with introspection, that we aren't just kind of spending that free time distracting ourselves with mindless entertainment. It is about kind of internal betterment, you know what yeah. I mean?
And it's that comes in a lot rest. Of different
exactly and it comes in mm-hmm. a lot of different ways for people. Like, no people are gonna have the same kind of proactive rest. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the Hermit is such a healthy way of being present mm-hmm. when that being present requires solitude.
Yeah.
Because being present can also mean with your family, but in this case, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have small kids. And so on the topic of proactive rest, Four of Swords was the last one I picked. The Four of Swords is so much a card of like knowing when we need to like tune out the things that drag us down. So mm-hmm. maybe that's your job. Maybe that's your family. Maybe that's friendship groups that require a lot of out of you, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of is applicable to each situation, right? Mm-hmm. But the four of swords is knowing when to like put that stuff aside for a minute and have proactive rest. Mm-hmm. And rest, again, looks so different for everyone. So that's mm-hmm. going to be very fluid with the person. Mm-hmm. But I think being present, so much of being present in the year of our Lord 2024 requires knowing when to create a personal boundary between ourselves and the world around us. Mm-hmm. And when to not just like mindlessly scroll social media, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I was, the theme I was picking for my three.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall into that trap of just like mindlessly scrolling.
It really is. And like the thing is, yeah, I don't blame anybody for that. I fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I think we all do. And
I do it all the time. Like we're human beings.
I don't know
about
you. We feel like garbage. Like after, you know, however long that we do it, we're like,
yeah,
why did I do that? Like I literally could have done anything else.
I feel like if I sit there and scroll the internet for too long, like uh-huh. it really negatively affects my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Like yep. in a major way, especially mm-hmm. as content creators. Like I'll see somebody whose video like had no effort, no thought, and it will have like 7 million views. And I'm like, why? Why is that? obviously, that's a little green eyes of jealousy kind of situation. So I'll take ownership for that. Because I also definitely have low energy content all the time. I'm not sat on a high horse, but my point is that I feel like things like technology is such a gift and it's also such a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like now that I'm a mom and I have a toddler who is telling me things like, don't be on your phone, mommy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moment of self-reflection. So I don't know. That's what my focus was. So this year, this season, we've been trying to kind of follow themes monthly, both with our social media tarot challenges and our main segment, for the non-guest episode. So if you follow us on social media, you probably already know that our theme this month is all about reconnecting with nature. So we thought that we would bring that on to the podcast in a non-tarot format.
But you guys should check out the challenge. The challenge is, I really like
you should check out the challenge. If you listen to the podcast and you don't like follow our tarot challenges, you should do that. They're fun. They're really fun. Mm-hmm. And you can pull them daily. Like, you can pull a card daily for the prompts, or you can sit down once a week and pull all of them like a spread. Mm-hmm. It's kind of up to you. Yeah. But I digress. That being said, with getting reconnected with nature, what first and foremost would you give people tips of in terms of like reconnecting with the land that they are on, that where they live?
Yeah, I think that's so important, like connecting with the land that you are actually on. It's really easy to romanticize like other places because you're like, I want to live there. I want to be there. And, you know, so much, if you're stateside, a lot of witchcraft, especially in books and stuff like that, can tend to be very Eurocentric. So it kind of like leaves a stateside.
Witchcraft by definition is Eurocentric, right?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it kind of leaves us at this like weird place where like it's hard to feel connected with the land when all of your reading material and stuff like that is not the land that you are about, the land that you are on. So I think it's very important to go out and experience your local environment. Even if you're having difficulties like me, I have a lot of difficulties connecting with the land in South Carolina. It's very flat, at least where I live. And there, like in the forest, we have like, it's very, very thick, like underbrush. So like going through the forest, like willy-nilly is, can be kind of impossible. And of course, like all the politics and stuff are here, you know, here, and it's kind of hard to like differentiate, you know, the land that you're on and the people's actions and stuff like that. But I have worked very hard the past few years to differentiate those two aspects and connect with the land. And I've actually had, I do think I have a way better connection with the land by looking at like local flora and fauna and discovering like native plants and non-native plants and just kind of like exploring what they are and what they do, and like medically, and if you can eat them and how they grow. And sometimes there's even folklore on the plants, which is really fun if you do discover that, because it's not all like, you know, there's a lot of missing folklore and stuff like that because of, you know, Native Americans were, you know, they hold most of the folklore for the plants in the area. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff is missing. But yeah, I highly recommend that if you're stateside.
Colonizers.
If you're stateside and you want to connect with the land, is to connect with the plants. And while you won't be able to find correspondences or folklore about specific plants, you can make your own by looking up the medical uses of the plants and looking at how they grow, the colors that they, you know, the colors they grow as, I guess, and putting your own UPG onto it, which is what I do. But yeah, how about you? How about you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love that advice. I'm going to be very annoying and plug last month's book club book from the Patreon again and remind everyone that Braiding Sweetgrass exists as a book. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in there that's very good that touches on this topic. So if you've never read Braiding Sweetgrass, I recommend it. But that being said, I really like looking up just the native plants and looking up which native plants are pollinators because we have a dying bee problem and getting seeds for that and throwing them in the yard. I mean, the thing is that a lot of times these native plants, they might not blossom when you're kind of throwing them out willy-nilly. I unfortunately live in an area that has a river rock bed, like, situation. So sometimes potting plants and growing plants, etc., it's a little difficult. But I think that if even like on a simple level of like getting to know the land that you're on, figuring out what plants natively grew where you live, looking up which ones are really good pollinators, and kind of building that relationship just like as native wildflowers, like on your property. I live on a property that's kind of large. It's just the nature of living in the woods. So I have a lot more freedom to just like willy-nilly throw flowers around. But not everybody might be able to do that. And so doing it on a small scale, getting yourself a couple of small little pots on your balcony or in your small backyard and just planting a couple of native pollinators is really, I think, great. And a lot of the times the native wildflowers are so stinking beautiful. Like, so beautiful. I don't know why we have chosen to have sterile grasses over these gorgeous flowers. I don't really understand that. But hey, who am I? I'm no white man in 1910. I'm just a woman.
I want a clover lawn. One of our Discord members was like,
I want one so bad.
So bad.
So bad.
Somewhere my HOA is screaming.
Yeah, they're crying, throwing up, rolling around, just going,
they should see my backyard right now. It's so bad. It's so bad. But I'm like, it's really hard for me to kill like a native plants to like put in grassy.
I couldn't do it either. And quite frankly, an HOA can suck me. Like, if it's native, it's native. That's the end of discussion. I know that, I don't know how it is in South Carolina, but in some places with your HOA, if it's a native, if it's native to the land, they cannot ask you to get rid of it because it's like protected.
Oh, this is South Carolina, babe.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys probably need to have like the most pristine grasses ever, or you're like, they're gonna light your house on fire. I don't know. I don't know what your HOA clauses are.
They're bad.
Oh, you don't have perfect Kentucky blue grass? Firebomb.
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically, right? Oh my goodness.
So, obviously going outdoors, it's very important to do what we talked about in our tarot theme, is be present. So what are your tips on like making the most out of your time outdoors?
I'm gonna be really annoying. We go on walks, my family and I. We're walking family. We go on little strolls. And I am a very big believer in, if you're going to be outside, that you should take care of the land that you exist on. So I bring a trash bag with us and we pick up trash on our walks. I know we've talked about this before, but I also feel like it's a really big offering. Which I know this isn't the topic that we're discussing today, but we've been talking about it a lot in the Discord about types of offerings and like how you kind of maintain a consistent relationship with offerings, etc. And I feel like taking care of your local just environment is one of the easiest and biggest offerings a person can do.
Yeah, so, and it is literally, you know, if reconnecting you went to with the
Piggly
land.
Wiggly, they gave you those god awful trash bags. Not trash bags, excuse me, plastic carry home bags. Save them, and when next time you go on a little stroll, just bring one with you. And if you see trash, pick it up. And I think that that, in my opinion, is the most low energy effort that one can make that is making the most of their time outside. And it's also an offering. What a great trade. What about you?
For me, it's okay. I do bring my phone with me, but I do also put on screen time when I'm spending that very important time outdoors. Because I like to bring my phone with me because I take photos of the plants and I have like a plant identifier thing. And even the iPhone has it, guys, where you can identify plants. Obviously get second, third, fourth opinions on making sure the plant that you're taking picture of is actually that plant, because I've gotten multiple different types of plant names. But anyways, but I think that really helps, like, making the most out of your time outdoors, because you're literally taking the time to learn the land and you're interacting with it. And I have this exercise that I learned from a book, and I'm trying to recall the name of the book. I can't remember.
Guys, I'll put it in the bio, but
it probably won't happen, but anyways, is that it's hard for people to go outside and sit without any distractions and just be and just listen and observe and be a part of it. Like, it's really hard, especially for our generation who constantly has to be distracted at all points, because we don't want to be alone with our thoughts, which, more than fair, we've been through a lot. I continue to go through a lot, like, you know, but that to me is very important, especially with reconnecting to the land and, making the most out of time out there, because you're actually, you're giving space for nature to just be and to observe it and to be a part of it, but not being,
I think we talked about this before with like nature sits. Do you remember or tree sits, whatever they're called? It's the same sort of thing, right?
I think that's really important to do. And to attempt to, like, if you have like ADD like me, start 5 minutes, give yourself 5 minutes, and then try to stretch it to 10 and just keep going until you're literally like, I can't do it anymore. And it's really funny how much that you do observe. And then you find, like, you know, animals just all of a sudden want to interact with you, or at least to get closer to you. And you witness things that you would not witness if you hadn't. But yeah.
So, like, not to move us on to our next talking point, but I feel like that also is a really good way to connect you magically with the land as well, because not only are you sitting outside, you're, like, embracing the flora and fauna, all that, you're also, like, building a connection with the animals, right? And even if, like, you're not going to be Snow White and do the ha 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 and the bird, like, lands on your finger or whatever, like, them just feeling safe enough to be in your, like, general bubble, I feel like that speaks volumes. I really do. Like, your energy is connected enough with the land that the animals are not totally terrified of you to be, like, especially in South Carolina, to be in shooting distance.
Right?
But the vibes you're putting out, nature is vibing with. So I think it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is, because you have built up trust. You're the one that does not disturb them. And they know that, and they recognize it. Especially if you go to, like, the same spot every single time.
Yeah.
And you know of specific animals there.
So. We got my dad once these little, like, handheld and wrist hummingbird feeders. Have you seen those?
No, and but I want the, well, okay, I have seen them and I want one. Like,
they're very cool, and he got one to land on him with one once. And that was, like, a big deal. That was a very big deal in this family. Everybody was, like, taking photos and was like, don't move, don't disturb it.
I love hummingbird babies. I love them so very, very much.
And what I think is really funny is, like, you know how, like, well, you know, but our listeners probably know that I'm from San Francisco, right? And I'm also very afraid of birds. Jot that down. You guys want to hex me? You go ahead and send birds my way. I think they're very shifty. And every single time that, like, pigeons would come sit on me or near me, I have this friend who'd be like, it means that they trust you. I was like, I wish they'd trust someone else.
Well, SETI birds are a special type of breed.
They're terrifying. Listen, birds, I'm not one of those people who are like, birds are fake, they work for the bourgeoisie, but birds have been around since the dinosaurs, okay? They have dinosaur feet, they have shifty eyes, they're unpredictable, and they will just shit on you. I'm so scared of them. I really don't like birds. I don't like birds in my vicinity. I had a roommate once that had a bird, and I was like, I do not feel safe in this house.
So funny.
But, I think they're wonderful away from me.
Can't relate. I love them. Like,
you're kooky for that one, girl.
But some of the ways like I magically connect with the land is I actively, like, before we go on like walks or anything like that, mm-hmm. I reach out to the land spirits and let them know I'm entering like wherever space that we're in, and I'm like, if you have anything to tell me or show me, I am open to it. And then I work with Pan here and there, so I also like energetically try to connect with his energy when I am out there like adventuring. And then I think, you know, while picking up trash and stuff is like a great offering and stuff to leave, but I also like to bring like little things to leave as offerings as well, like some plants or some fruit. Though if you're going to leave like fruit or anything, I do recommend removing the seeds, because mm-hmm. not everything is okay to grow in, yes. you know, like, do not like remove the apple seeds.
Don't put strawberries out there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave peach pits out there.
Yeah, as long, like, it depends, especially depends on where you're at. If you're like on your own land, obviously, if you want some raspberry bushes, like leave some raspberries out there, you know, but yeah. You have to be very careful if you're like on national park lands, because you can't just leave that stuff there. You might even get in trouble for it.
It's a big difference between offering and littering.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing stuff. They're like, no, this is a very delicate ecosystem. Let's not do that. But yeah, I think leaving like offerings, especially if you are taking plants, and we will get into that later, but about taking plants, but, to leave an offering as a thank you is a great way to magically connect with the land as well. But mm-hmm. how about for you?
I also think that you can do things like, again, if you look into local wildflowers and et cetera that are in your area, mm-hmm. a lot of places will sell these. And I think we've given them in boxes before. They're like these pieces of paper that have the wildflower seeds that are put into it. And mm-hmm. you can like literally write notes of gratitude, etc., and then leave them, and you're like helping the delicate ecosystem mm-hmm. with like the local plants. Mm-hmm. And it's a like the most like harm reductive way to do something, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just like magically connecting with the land where we live, I find it really nice to kind of like focus on rooting with the earth. So like, I mm-hmm. will do my best. Again, it depends on where I am, because like where I live, there's a lot of lions, mountain lions and bears.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can, I like to like be a part of the ecosystem in its own way. So like, I like doing this thing annually. I've talked about it a few times in my own account, where I like have a relationship with the sacred waters that are in mm-hmm. our area, and I do like a full body cleanse, not with soap, mm-hmm. but in the local water mm-hmm. annually. And I just kind of take a moment to really ground myself into the earth around me, mm-hmm. burying my hands, burying my feet in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
and just really connecting in that way, and then mm-hmm. getting into the waters and like cleaning myself off with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a really great way to like connect myself with like my local environment. I don't know. It's giving woo-woo, okay? I know that.
No, it's not. You're literally a witch. It's all woo-woo. I also, for like spell work and stuff, if I'm doing spell work at home, especially for the home, I do involve the local land spirit and just ask for like, especially for protection work, be like, can you protect my family and stuff like that? And I've mentioned on, I think on Instagram, it might have been Threads, but when witch burrs like fall on my porches or anything, I leave them be because I take that as land spirits actively doing their own protection work for me.
I like that so, a lot.
Thank you.
You've told me that before and I've always really liked that.
So I just like leave them be because I feel like, you know, they're meant to be there. So yeah.
So before we wrap up the segment, what would you tell our listeners for foraging? They're going to go out into the woods. They're going to collect things. They want to be a part of nature and they want to bring it home. What are the do's and don'ts?
Know the rules before visiting like a national park. You can't just take stuff. Especially when it's native plants, that is usually 100% a no-no. Yes. Like, unfortunately. Yes. But it's important because, you know, especially you have like, unfortunately, you do have little kids out there. Like, they're just like willy-nilly picking like flowers and stuff
better.
Like that. Yeah.
But you're an adult.
So they don't need adults going out there and digging up the whole plant and using it in spell work. And ruining, as like we said, delicate ecosystems. You have to be very careful. But they're usually 100% okay with you taking invasive species. There's and they usually have like a day out of like a month that they just they ask for a group of volunteers to come and help take care of the invasive plants happening so it can help the ecosystem. So you can always get involved in that and just like be like, I'm going to take this, I'm going to take it home, because there are a lot of unfortunately a lot of amazing invasive species that should not be here that you can use in like spell work and stuff like that. And like, oh gosh, what do we have here? Like, I'm trying to remember the name, but they're like pink puffballs and they are very invasive, but you can literally like use them for like love magic and stuff like that. And we have, what else do we have? We have like, they're called youngin, I think. I might mispronouncing this, but they're like yellow flowers and stuff like that. And they're an invasive species. And like, you can use them for happiness spell work. And then we have, like, I'm pretty sure henbit is also invasive and not native. I might be wrong. I have to look it up. But you can take a bunch of that because it's usually, it just, like, fills your entire yard or, like, area and, like, dominates all the other plants. But, yeah, there's so many amazing, like, invasive species that you can collect and you'll be helping out your local environment. So, yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I would recommend, there's two things that I think is very important. One, Forager 101, never take the loss of something. If you stumble upon something and you're like, wow, I found a thing and there's no others around there, don't take it. Mostly because, especially if it's native, it might be struggling to thrive in that area, etc. And taking it assures that it will never thrive. So, Don't take the loss of something ever. Also learn the difference between types of plants before foraging them. So like, for example, there might be bushes. Well, bushes tend to grow rapidly. They tend to grow in excess, etc. So like, if you had shearing scissors and you took just like a little bit of it, it's not going to really hurt the plant. Where like a bulb plant, a plant that is like a tulip, a daffodil, dahlias, leeks, like things that have a bulb, right? If you cut it, if you take it, you have now killed that plant. It will not grow back. In most cases, I'm speaking very generally, of course, which is why it's important to look this stuff up. Because those sort of plants, they need to die on their own to be able to come back the next year. So these sort of things, it's important to look up. Even when it comes to like mushrooms, it's important to look up like what kind of mushroom it is. Is it invasive? Is it safe to handle with your hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So learning the difference in plants and how you can and cannot handle them mm-hmm. is very important, not just for like your relationship with nature, but also just general physical safety. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
just learn about it before taking anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. And I meant turnips, not leeks, but we have a ton of
right.
like,
I knew what
native
you meant.
Turnips
I
here.
Did but, I say leek too?
I don't know. No, and you didn't. I did. You're good.
Oh, okay.
You're good. You're good. You're
it
good.
Doesn't matter. You get my point, everybody.
Yeah. And it's also, I forgot to mention when foraging plants, even if it's invasive, it can be also important to ask the plant if it's okay to take.
Yes.
Because, well, okay. You still need to help the environment and stuff like that, but I wouldn't use it in spell work if the plant is like, nay, do not use
yeah.
me. You know, mm-hmm. that's important to me.
It is important.
I think.
So just forage respectfully, guys. Mm-hmm. Forage responsibly. Learn basics. And sometimes a sign from the universe can be simply that, where they're mm-hmm. showing you something that doesn't mean to take it home. Kind of like Maria's saying with that, if you ask a plant and it's invasive and it says no, well, don't use it in spell work, but we're still helping nature. So
yeah.
Use these things with discernment, etc. Wear gloves. Be mm-hmm. safe.
Oh, definitely wear gloves. Please, please, please,
please,
please
wear
gloves.
Please. Please. Staph infections are real and so are poisons. So
yeah.
Let's
yeah.
forage responsibly, guys.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
That is never not going to be funny. I reopened pre-orders. They're closed now. So if you're listening to this, this is not an upsell because you can't purchase it. but I opened pre-orders again for my oils and they just closed like 2 or 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like getting everything together to start making oils to send off mm-hmm. to people again. And I'm so excited. I'm genuinely
I'm
so excited.
I love your oils. I remember when
I'm
you
so
made
excited.
Them for Black Cat Magic.
I know you want to talk about a throwback.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
those of you who haven't been around that long, I used to be called Black Cat Magic like 100 years ago.
It was yeah. yesterday. It was yesterday.
It feels like yesterday. It genuinely does feel like yesterday.
It does. Time moves
so
fast.
Old.
Old.
But I am really excited. I'm gonna start making them probably tomorrow, and in making them, like, I'm just like really jazzed, like, because we also have really good weather, which means I can set them in the outside altar before sending them off. So jazzed.
I think it's gonna be really good. I'm so excited for you.
I miss making things like oils, and like the thing is that I don't get enough consistent orders to justify uh-huh. keeping it up all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like getting to do these pre-orders are really fun for me because it means that like I can put it up
mm-hmm.
and offer it to people, but I mm-hmm. don't have to feel like I have to keep a certain stock in to have mm-hmm. available on the odd occasion somebody will order one every few like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like it's,
no, that makes
it's
sense.
More work for me right now to fill a bunch of orders, but it's less mental load for me than keeping it constantly in stock.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
so,
fair.
Yeah. That's so fair. I really enjoy it. I am very excited to make them again. And yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. So, Maria. What's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Why are you doing it through the camera?
I don't know. I'm looking at the camera. What do you want from me? Please. I'm just a baby.
It just makes it a whole lot more intimate, Robin. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I just really want to hold your hand while I ask you what's not stirring your cauldron because I care so deeply in a romantic way.
We're married in a relationship, remember.
I would like to remind our audience that we are not actually married, and I find it very funny every single time we find out somebody is like shocked to hear that we are not.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Robin's in a straight relationship. I'm the one that's in the gay as hell relationship.
Gay, yes. Like literally you could not be gayer than those two. It's sick. It's sick.
But anyways, what's not stirring my cauldron? Like, yes, I am going to complain about social media, but it's important. So Instagram's making it, they're not removing hashtags, but they're removing like the most recent, and they're just showing like viral hashtags. And I don't know, like it's already been so hard to find lately to find community and to discover community because of the way social media has changed so much. And it just really sucks that you just have to hope that someone will come onto your like screen that resonates with you. You know, it's not like you can go to the hashtag anymore and like look up stuff that you're interested in and like find people that you're interested in. And I don't know, it's just kind of sad because if you go on to any hashtag right now, it's all memes. It's all memes.
It's literally all memes. And the thing is, I love a good meme. Me too.
100%.
But I feel like memes are not something that is necessarily bringing us together. Mm-hmm. It's usually like, it's either funny and you have a little chuckle, or it's something that somebody will have a strong opinion on and it creates this massive discourse over something so silly. And I don't know. I don't think it's something that brings us together. And it makes me kind of sad.
It makes me really sad because when Robin and I first joined the Witch community online, that's how we found people. We found people by looking at hashtags and finding people through hashtags and being like, oh my gosh, that person looks really cool. Like, I want to learn about them, you know? And that's how we found people. And right now, you just have to kind of hope that you either stumble on them through their horrible algorithm or like one of your friends posts about them in your store in the stories. But if you post other people's stuff to your stories automatically don't get seen because they don't like you sharing stuff to your story. So it's like this whole like stuff. And I don't know, this really is ruining the online community, I feel. I mean, yeah, and it pushes you to go out and find your like real community, but it's, you know, not all real
of us,
community.
Honestly,
but,
that's
like,
really like, I like that idea, but the thing is that not all of us have real life communities.
Exactly.
I live in an incredibly rural area where just to go to the grocery store is 40 minutes. Where the fuck is my real life community?
Yeah.
2 hours away. I've got kids, man. I can't be making a 4-hour journey back and forth just to hang out with people.
I live in suburbia in the south, and the city is like, you know, 25 minutes away, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot. I can't go over there every day. I can't.
It's just not very accessible. And the fact of the matter is that for some of us, online community is the only thing that we have for a variety of reasons, whether it's because you live super rurally, if it's because you live in a place where it might not be safe for you to go to these situations, or because you are like physically unable for whatever reason to not go to these sort of things. And I think that isolating all of us and pumping our social media with the evangelical Christian content just because we have a spiritual account is insane. Just my opinion.
Yeah. And not to mention, I don't know if you know this, but like on Threads, and I think even on Instagram, the witchcraft thread, it like for hashtag, you can't go to it because it's blocked right now.
You can on Instagram.
On Instagram? Like typing it in?
Like I literally just checked. So you can go onto it on Instagram. I don't know about Threads.
Yeah.
That's why my phone screamed at me because I was like checking to see if the witchcraft tag was even still available.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, I get it that we do have a lot of scammer stuff happening in the community.
We do have a really big problem, but I feel like making people pay for proving their identity just to protect themselves is not a solution for that. That's just my opinion. I shouldn't have to give you money just to have basic personal protection.
Exactly. Exactly.
We could talk about this for an hour.
Yeah, we could.
If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This is anyone from shops, artists, books, other podcasters, etc. These are organically found. They are not ads. And that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
Okay, so it's actually a book that I got sent.
Makes me so
and
mad.
And Robin's going to hate me.
I am. I already know what it is. And I'm like, we just talked about this.
It's The Hidden Meanings of Birds, a Spiritual Field Guide.
There's nothing hidden about it. They're evil. Next question. It's right in our face.
I just love it so much. I mean, I do. My only gripe with it is I wish it was bigger and expanded a little bit, because I do think that there's certain folklore missing out of some of the entries, and that, like with owls, like there's so many different varieties of owls, and each has its own symbolism. Mm-hmm. An owl does have its like
general
core symbolism, but if you go like with the bar owl, you know, like that represents they can represent boundaries, laughter, and things like that. But it's still like, you don't really see those type of things, like, you know, books on bird symbolism. But if you are in your 30s and are a witch and are a bird watcher, this book is definitely for you.
If you're old and you like watching birds, and you for some reason have something wrong with you where you think that birds are nice.
Wow.
So scary.
Wow.
A bird got in our house.
No, they're not.
A bird got in our house yesterday, and I freaked out. I was like, get it. Get the bird.
Oh,
safely,
gosh.
Obviously. I don't want any harm to come to the bird, but I was like, get it away from me. Get it out of my home.
Beyond, you would hate it over here, because on my chase tree, my Vitex berry tree, I'll have like 10 birds.
We
at
have
once,
bird feeders everywhere, because my dad, my husband, my children, everyone loves birds but me. So there's birds everywhere at our house. Like, but it got in the house, and I was like, get it, be gone. Be gone, bird. I'll send you a picture, actually, because it was above the oven. Anyway.
Okay.
My choice this week is actually somebody that we've talked about probably in season one, but a huge part of kind of what they're doing, how they're doing it, etc., has changed so much in the last 5 years.
So much.
So much.
So much.
So this is a shop called Yolia Botanica, and they are a spirituality shop. Our friend Lulu runs it. And she's making all this great stuff. It's been really amazing watching her growth. She used to make just smoke cleansing wands, and now she runs an entire like real life brick and mortar store, and it's online. And I think it's really amazing. And it's been really cool watching the growth that's happened there. And I don't know, getting to see her thrive. So,
and not to mention, like, her little videos that
they
do
so
for the store
cute.
Are so funny.
They're so cute. They're so,
so funny.
Funny
and cute.
Like, 10 out of 10. I've really been enjoying it. I actually just DM'd her the other day, and I was just like, I just told her this outright. I was like, it's been really nice watching your growth, and I just want to see her continue to thrive. So, if you want to support a small business that's also a metaphysical shop, get over there.
Yeah, do it.
Do you want to tell our listeners who our listener choices this week?
Yeah, actually, our listener choice is one of our Discord babies shops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's Grunge Apothecary,
yes.
And it's run by our very own Zoe. And what our listeners have been loving is her oils.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I mean, not only does she have like the coolest like apothecary name ever, but but yeah, they can't stop talking about her oils and how amazing they are and how good they smell. And
yes.
I believe it. I haven't had any myself, but maybe I should get some.
She did do a coffee and cauldrons when we did our small business September. She did a coffee and cauldrons like grab bag, which was really cute.
Aww.
I think some of them might still be in stock too. So you guys should go support her and her business. Very good.
Yeah, come check her out.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for joining us this episode. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, April 12th for our Coffee Talk episode, or April 19th for the 7th episode of Season 5, where we will have a special guest. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and just to see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on April 20th for our class with Laura Derbyshire of the Bauer Hair for her class on Grimoire Magic. That is for the library tearing up, and it's also on Eventbrite if you don't want to join the Patreon.
Yes, that was a really cool thing that we added because, you know, maybe you just want to be for the class and not join Patreon, which is fair,
But it is fair.
Additionally, if you do want to join our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, it offers a special 25-minute part two episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. But, I mean, guys, we have so many cool events that happens on our Discord now.
We have 9 events scheduled for this month.
It's so crazy, but it's so much fun. I mean, we do like a spell together, and Robin hosts a meditation, and we have a crafting circle. We have a journaling circle.
Discord mixer where you can hang out with people. There's a ton of stuff happening. I don't know. I think it's well worth the price. Obviously, everyone is entitled to feel however they want to, and that's fine. But there's a lot happening, and we would love to see you guys there. And remember, whether you support us at $1 or $100, you are supporting this podcast, and we appreciate you so much.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just beautiful voices, take a moment to review us, if you would, from whatever place you are tuning in from, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, something else, or even YouTube, where you can give us a little thumbs up on the video or subscribe to us. We would really appreciate it. And for everyone who has taken the time to review us, we really want to say thank you because it's been amazing and we appreciate it.
Yeah. So, again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I am Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
All right, ready?
Yep.
One, two, three. Bye, witches!